Join me in Acts chapter 6, a familiar passage for us today, one we have covered in different contexts and different times, but taking it as it comes, the Holy Spirit has brought us to chapter 6, the first seven verses. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. As it says there in the last verse, the number of disciples is increasing rapidly in Jerusalem. The apostles are out preaching and teaching. They're sharing the gospel. The crowds are coming. We have several accounts here where thousands have come on different opportunities. The church is growing. More and more people are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the coming of more and more people, comes along with them their issues, their desires, their habits, their ideas. And the first century church was not immune to these challenges that a larger and larger gathering of diverse people can create. Here in this newly assembled church, there is gagismos. Yes, gagismos. I know it's hard to believe, but among these who are gathered in the Lord's name is gagismos. And I must admit, the first century church is not the only place we see this divisive tendency brought in here. It's found many times when assorted people from differing backgrounds come together. Today in many churches around the land, there is gagismos. In the ARP, I know this will shock you, there is gagismos concerning several issues before us. And if left unattended, gagismos will tear up any assembly. I can't believe I did all of that with a straight face. All right, you're asking, what is gagismos? Well, when I found this Greek word, it's one of those words you just love to say. Gagismos! Well, it tells us in the text what it is. It's grumbling. It's complaining. It's bellyaching. It's murmuring. And what brought about this grumbling and murmuring and complaining found in this first century church and this diverse group of people that are now being brought together? Look at verse 1 with me again. In those days, the number of disciples was increasing. The Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were not being taken care of. The Grecian Jews were complaining that their widows, their mothers, were not being adequately cared for, and they believed the Hebraic Jews were being fed, being taken care of at their expense. Now here it seems that the church is taking on the responsibility for these ladies for whatever reason it might be. We don't know that. And there are those who believe it's not being done well. Now, please understand, it's not suggested that the apostles have done this deliberately. It is just an evidence of the issue at hand here. It's simply an oversight, we believe. And it shows a problem that has occurred and is being emphasized by the large gathering of people. What we see here is the increasing needs of the people not being met, and the grumbling, the murmuring, has caused the disciples, the apostles, to divert their attention from the primary to take care of this issue. There are two underlying issues at play here. First of all, the grumbling. We can't pass by just the simple fact of the grumbling. Well, there shouldn't be grumbling. There shouldn't be grumbling within the church. Yes, the problems exist, but complaining, grumbling, doesn't solve the problem. We would hope that this newly formed group of people would take it upon themselves to resolve their issue and work better together. But folks, there are some folks that are just not like that. They'd rather complain and grumble than to take the initiative to move forward and try to resolve the issue. Now, I know that the people of New Sterling are never guilty of this, so I'll move on quickly. Secondly, there is a culture clash here, which is really at the essence of the issue. There's a culture clash here. The Jews and the Greeks, they are struggling because the Jews who were raised in this faith are more accustomed to the traditional things. These Greeks who are now come along and joined the church, they're accustomed to their traditions and their pasts. And so there's challenges just by the differences in cultures. Is there jealousy? Maybe. Is there the idea that these new people just haven't learned how we do things? Possibly. We do have this tendency in our church. The older folks are accustomed to a certain way of doing things, and when the younger folks come along and things begin to change, well, then there's that tension. I hear this type of complaint in our denomination. Some of the homegrown ARPs are not happy with us who have come into the denomination of late, and things are changing in our denomination, and these newcomers to the ARP are being blamed for a lot of the things. There's grumbling and backbiting. There's gogismos. But we must be very, very clear that if this issue, this grumbling, this complaining, if it's not addressed here in the first century church and in our own church, it will lead to larger, more complex issues. You see, God's church requires order. God is a God of order. Disunity, chaos, confusion, grumbling, none of these things are of God. See, those are the places, those are the characteristics of Satan, and those are the places where he works. And so if we are busy grumbling, if we are busy in the chaotic times, then that's the doorway for Satan to enter in. And if Satan gets the church to be consumed with the social aspects of the people to quiet the grumbling, then he has won. So the administration of the ministries, the oversight of ministries in the church is critical. It's important, needs to be addressed. And this is what the apostles have said. Look at verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Did the apostles say that waiting on tables was unimportant?" No, they did not. It's just that it is not the primary calling of the apostles. And here's where the church can err if not careful. The physical needs of the people, your physical needs, my physical needs, they are important and they should be met as much as possible by the church. But let me ask you, are the physical needs of the people the primary need of the people? No, it's not. We like to think that they are. We like to think that my personal particular needs are the most important thing, and you, the church, better meet them. One of the great faults of the American church today is its consumerism mentality. I walk in and you meet my need. I'm a consumer. You better provide something for me to purchase. No. What good is saving the body if the soul rots away? What was the solution the apostles proposed? Back to the text, verse 3 and 4. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer in the ministry of the Word. The office of deacon is born. Here we see the names of those men chosen by the disciples within the group, and they were given the service of caring for the tables for the people. The deacons are to care for the people so the apostles can give their attention to the prayer and the ministry of the Word. The primary role of the deacon is to care for the physical needs of the people. In our form of government, chapter 7, it states, the office of deacon as set forth by Scripture is one of sympathy and service after the example of Christ. The diaconate shall be responsible for the congregation's ministry to those in material need or distress. Now, it goes on and gives many more attributes of the diaconate, but that's the primary. We recognize the importance of the physical need of the people, and we support fully the office of deacon to meet the physical need of the people within the church. Do you realize that the office of deacon was given to the church before the office of elder? And now with the deacons in place, the apostles can give their attention to their primary calling. What's the underlying principle here? It is that God calls all of His people into ministry. And He calls different people to different places within the ministry of His church. And that those who are called to prayer and to the ministry of the Word must not allow themselves to be distracted from that priority. Elders, hear me well. That we who are called to prayer and ministry of the Word should not be distracted from that primary calling by the other ministries in the church that are to be filled by other folks in the church. We see this principle at work here at New Sterling. We have a committee chaired by the deacons under their oversight. It's called the Hope and Care Ministry. That committee, in the leadership by the deacons, is charged with caring for the physical needs of the people. Now, the deacons in general take care of the physical needs of the people. The elders, in contrast, take care of the spiritual needs. That is the principle being laid out here. The elders take care of the spiritual. The deacons take care of the physical. My task as pastor and teaching elder is to be the primary teacher, the primary preacher, and the primary counselor, bringing God's Word to the fore and bringing it to you for your edification, your worship, your learning, your discipline. The ruling elders These men you saw seated up here last Sunday as we were doing communion, the ruling elders are called to be men who support the work of the pastor, come alongside and work with the pastor in meeting the spiritual needs through teaching, through prayer for the people. In our time, the apostles are gone. These apostles, obviously, 2,000 years ago, these apostles are gone. And as we see most clearly in Paul's writing to Timothy and to the church in Ephesus, the elders now walk in the footsteps of the apostles, follow along behind the apostles. The apostles, their primary calling was to plant churches and to write Scripture as given to them by the Holy Spirit. The elder now follows that model. Not in planting churches, unless they're called to that specific task. Not in writing new materials, but revealing and teaching what has been written. The elder, both teaching and ruling elder, should not be distracted from the teaching, from the prayer, by giving priority to the physical needs of the people. The diaconate, as we see here in this text, that's their responsibility. And the deacons should care for the people to such a degree that the physical needs of the people never become an issue that would distract or call the attention of an elder. Administration of the church. God's church requires order. Here in this passage, very simple passage, that order, that structure is beginning to take form. And what's the result? What's the result in the church when all of this in the church is done according to Scripture? What's the outcome? Look with me at verse 7. The word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The word of God spread when the order is followed. The number of disciples increased rapidly when the order is followed. Isn't this exactly what God wants? Isn't this what we want? We want the word of God to spread. We want the number of disciples, those who follow, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, to increase. This is what we want. It is amazing what happens when the church follows the biblical order given. It is amazing what happens in the church when the church follows the biblical order given. Whose responsibility is it to grow this church? Is it mine? Is it the evangelism committee? Is it yours? I see some yeses and some noes. Well, no, it's not. Note my question. Is it my responsibility? Is it your responsibility to grow the church? No, it is not. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It is ours to follow the commands. It is ours to follow the order. It is ours to follow the Scriptures as given so that the Holy Spirit will work as He has prescribed. Every one of us in this room, if you are a believer, let me qualify that. Every one of us in this room, if we are believers, are called to be ministers. I am not the minister. I am the pastor. More particularly, I'm the pastor teacher. You're the ministers. How many of you have gone to church and seen a directory or a list of people, and it says the ministers of the church, and it's got the people of the church listed, not the clergy? You're the ministers. You're the ministers of the church. In the church, I've said this before, in the church will only be successful when all of us, every one of us, fulfills the ministry given to us, particularly within the confines of the capital C, church. If one person does not follow what God has called them to do and to be, then we, the church, will never be what God desires us to be. If the apostles had said here, no, I can do that better than you, I'm going to take care of that. And he dutifully served the plates, cleaned the silverware, cleaned off the table, cooked the meat, prepared the vegetables, prepared all of that for the people, and those people were fed well every day. And the apostles did that. Well, we'd look at that and say, boy, he's a good elder, ain't he? No, he's not. He's a misguided elder. Get out of the way. There are people who were called into that service. Elder, you go have a prayer meeting. Elder, you go teach a Sunday school class. Elder, you call the people together and say, how can I be of service to you spiritually? What's on your heart? Deacon, get me another glass of tea. No, don't go that far. Satan wants gogismos. He wants the church. See, he cannot tear down the church. That's a given. But he can cause turmoil in the church. And he wants us to grumble. He wants us murmuring. He wants us calling that pastor names because he doesn't do what I think he should do. That elder never comes and visits me. Have you prayed for him? Of first importance is the spreading of God's word and the growing of the people. That's the first importance. That's the first challenge of the church. And all of us come together and do our part so that that first priority can be done. I pray we would all give ourselves in our place to that first priority. Spreading the word, praying, and seeing the church grow. Amen. Amen.